I've recently moved back here to beautiful Vancouver. This means I've spent hours sorting through countless boxes of keepsakes. With the help of my husband and my two university-age sons, I've asked myself multiple times this summer, why do we keep the things we do? If we're honest, even important things often just end up collecting dust in our storage closets. In my mind's eye, I can see collectible place settings my grandmother gifted me with that have never been used. They still sit in bubble wrap and packing tape in a box marked Important Family Heirloom. Dolls from my childhood still sit in a box marked Aisling's Childhood. And just a couple months ago, my husband and I opened up a box to find a beautiful cutlery set and a set of tiny novelty espresso cups that we completely forgot we owned. We wondered, why do we move these things from place to place and never put them on our tables when we sit down to eat and drink? In 2020, I watched a TED Talk put out by a British Columbian emergency room nurse attending graduate school here at UBC. In this talk, Gillian Dunn speaks about people's tendency to save things for a special day. She instructs her listeners to do one thing: use it now. Gillian talks about having a special blue candle that she purchased on holiday in Mexico. She cherished it and repeatedly put off lighting the candle. This object's whole purpose was to be a light and give light in the darkness. But Gillian never lit the candle because no day ever seemed special enough. Until one day, years later, she opened up the box to find a pool of melted blue wax rehardened inside her treasure box. Gillian mentions the effect of what some researchers have termed a scarcity mindset. This mindset suggests that we don't have enough, be it enough time or enough sleep, enough clothes or enough space, enough happiness or enough health. When experiencing this mindset, we often put off using special objects or doing special experiences, because the elusive day where enough appears never seems to come. We imagine a future time that will prompt us to light treasured candles or wear special items or share in special experiences with others. Sometimes, if we're vulnerably honest, we're even convinced that we simply aren't special enough yet to deserve good gifts. We may set up arbitrary requirements for using the gifts we've been given. We need to be more healthy, more capable, more competent, more affluent before being allowed to have that experience. As an ER nurse, Gillian poignantly speaks about the irony of seeing so many men and women, boys and girls, come into the emergency room without their elusive objects. In a moment of unexpected crisis, their time is sometimes cut short. Our propensity for a scarcity mindset can also make us incredibly competitive with one another. After all, if there isn't enough for me or for us, then we may really struggle when we see others given or entrusted with more, whether it's more belongings or more money, more talents, more success. When we spot these gifts in the lives of others, we may find ourselves thinking, it's just not fair. This month, we've been learning about the parables of Jesus. And in our Jesus story today, we will easily find some things that at first glance seem unfair. From the beginning of the parable in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, often called the parable of the bags of gold, Jesus tells his listeners and each of us about a master that intentionally gives his servants differing amounts of bags of gold or talents. The master is going on a long journey, and he has dared to entrust his servants with his treasures or his wealth. The first servant receives 5 bags of gold. The second servant receives 2 bags of gold. And the third servant receives just 1 bag of gold. Already, we might read these words and think to ourselves, that's not fair. When I think about what seems fair, I can't help but consider my experience as an identical twin. I can look back at the pictures of my early childhood when my sister and I first arrived in North America from Ireland, and I can see how important it was to my grandparents, or my maternal grandmother, really, that we have the same things in the same quantities. If you did a quick glance at these early photos, you would see in this transition a whole lot of matching child-friendly toys. These photos include a look at twin girls with pot-bellied teddy bears, mirror image bumblebee riding vehicles, twin doll duos being fed by matching plastic pink and yellow spoons. They were all the same. It was important to family members building a relationship with us early on this side of the world to be fair. And the gift of twin items of the same value expressed an offering that was equal. As listeners to Jesus' teaching, we want the offerings of the master to be fair to the servants too. Instead, we're told in verse 15, the servants are given each according to his ability. But we're left wondering what these differing abilities might mean. Then the master went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work, and he gained 5 bags more. So also the one who had 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned, settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with 2 bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." This is where Jesus' story takes an incredible twist and turn. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." Now, how do you think the master responds to this third servant? His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." Next, the third servant is sent away to only darkness and disappointment. At this point, we as listeners feel like the rug just got pulled out from under us. The bags of gold are given out in increments that seem unfair. And the one who sounded the most afraid, the one who seemed most in need of comfort, got anything but care. We want to say, Jesus, did you get that right? Jesus was an incredible storyteller. Eugene Peterson tells us in his book, Tell It Slant, storytellers invite participation. Storytellers make us aware of the way things are, not just aware as spectators, but aware so that we can get in on this world of wonders. This is why Jesus tells stories, not to inform or explain or define, but to get us actively in on the ways and will of God in the homes and neighborhoods and workplaces where we spend our time. No doubt this story pushes us to a point of listening to Jesus with our heads cocked to the side like those listening to Jesus then. We feel aware if what Jesus is teaching is right. We have way more skin in the game or more of an investment in this God economy than what is comfortable. A scarcity mindset may follow. If we aren't careful, we might get so preoccupied with whether things are fair in this story, we might miss the fact that this master was giving his servants something that was an incredible amount of generosity and trust. We don't know for sure how much a talent of gold was. It was a word that was used to describe a measurement of weight and often used for precious metals. One writer suggested that a talent may have been as much as 6,000 denarii, or 20 years of wages for the average worker. At this value, the servant who had been given 5 bags of gold or 5 talents was entrusted with 100 years worth of paid labor wages. These servants were entrusted with so much, including the one with just 1 bag of gold. Jesus is teaching us something about the master. He also wants us to understand this point. God is a generous giver of good gifts. I'm wondering if you've ever been given a gift that was so big, given something that made you well aware you were completely unable to repay the giver. How did that make you feel? How did it change the way you used your gifts or how you took care of it? Did you protect it, hide it, hoard it? Or perhaps did you do just the opposite, using it to the fullest, knowing that was exactly what the giver truly wanted you to do? Otherwise, they'd never have given it to you in the first place. When I lived overseas as a child advocate, I spent a lot of time hearing from people of all ages, children, youth, young adults, many who lived in poverty or had been rescued out of poverty. Some of them had received child sponsorship growing up and were lovingly trained how to build up their community for the better. Some had simply been given mentors that intentionally built them up. People like bright-eyed young adult named Mark comes to my mind. He was someone who never thought he'd amount to anything, and now Mark's mentoring many children in his church with an incredible amount of passion and joy. People like Stephen, who initially was surrounded by so much scarcity of hope, went on to be a beloved local pastor, eventually a global church leader, someone I'm blessed to call friend. Stephen has created waves of change and hope with Christ's love, literally around the world. One of the things that really moved me was getting a front row seat on how abundant strengths were built into young people's lives as people invested in them. I found that these young people's identities were not simply rooted in being takers in a world of scarcity. Instead, I met many incredible people with gifts and talents and resources. I observed them actively giving back to others around them. I drew a series of pictures that I called receivers and extenders. I used the image of one set of hands laid over the top of another set of hands to represent this reciprocal interchange. I was trying to make visible in my simple sketches the open, grateful lives shared freely as receivers daring to extend outwards to others what was first shared with them. I'm not overstating things to say that this learning has changed my life. This is also transformative for me because I firmly believe that this Jesus story about God the giver also mirrors the generosity poured in my own life. I'm the new family life pastor here at 10th, and prior to returning to Vancouver to live, I've had the awesome opportunity to serve as children and families pastor in a variety of settings. People who know me know that I bring equal parts joy and honor to each unique opportunity I'm given to deeply know and love young people. But I was once a child in a family that was experiencing a lot of brokenness. This included broken relationships and an unsafe home. I too was someone who had obstacles to my own growth and nurture. I experienced harm in my story. But soon I had neighbors who prayed for me. They invited me into a huge faith family that told me about a God who knew my name and had a purpose for my life. This generous giver took the dark places in my own story and brought light and life to them instead. There were countless people who brought their hands together in prayer and whispered my name on their lips. People like a greeter who used to stand at the door of my large childhood church, Mr. Fields. He shook my hand every Sunday, and he took the time to tell me just how glad his heart was to see me. When I graduated from high school years later, I wrote a poem about Mr. Fields' peaceful blue eyes and his warm handshake that somehow multiplied God's good gifts in my heart and story. My faith family gave gift upon gift to me, growing me, challenging me, seeing gifts in me, and every time I pray for any child or teen or young adult or family, I do it not only as someone who's experienced some scarcity, I do it most of all with this grateful heart, as one who's experienced the abundance of God the giver. And I want more than anything to share those gifts with others. In fact, I can't think of any privilege that's greater. The more I read and reflect on Matthew 25, I've been struck by the fact that instead of scarcity, I find layer upon layer of just the opposite. This is the second point I want us to take away today. Something changes in our story when we no longer see it as a story about scarcity, but a story of abundance. Everything becomes gift, and gifts are always meant to be given away. The first two servants in this Jesus story invest their treasures and they see them grow. And when the master returns from his trip, he finds these servants' gifts used, invested in such a way that multiplies them twofold. 5 becomes 10, 2 bags become 4, and the master matches their active participation with affirmation, celebration, and gifts multiplied. It's as if the amount of what originally was given hardly even matters. The master's generosity and the servant's participation is the heart of this story, regardless of the outcome. Joining in the master's work in the world results most profoundly in the happiness and joy of the giver, both for the master and the one who dares to reflect that same giving. Regardless of our ages, our experiences, our resources, no matter the number of bags of gold we're holding at the moment, any of you a little shy on gold in your pockets today? God desires to use and multiply our gifts as he lovingly considers our own humble abilities. Ultimately, more gifts are put in the hands of the servants who dare to empty their hands of the original gifts. God entrusts us with this sacred task. God wants us to be both receiver and extender of good gifts. We were created to participate in the Master's generosity by sharing our gifts with others. The third servant has an altogether different understanding of the master. In his eyes, the master is seen not as trusted giver and provider. Instead, he's perceived as a harsh threat. In this posture, the servant buries his treasures. The servant doesn't focus his attention on the giver, nor does he mirror the generosity of the master. In fact, this servant speaks out about all his fears related to what might be wrong and untrustworthy about the master instead. And in this space of scarcity, all becomes threat and gifts are kept hidden. His understanding of the heart of the master really matters in this story. Our understanding of the heart of God the giver in our lives matters just as much. And this story is equal parts warning to all who have ears to hear. There will come a time when we will be held accountable for how we use the gifts we've been given. The third servant allows fear to take center stage. He hides the gifts and returns it just as it was given. Gifts are not multiplied when buried away from the light of day. In fact, the servant was really living without the gift from the day it was given to him. This is not what we were created for. In Matthew 6:19-21, it says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be." The third servant in this parable teaches us an important lesson. When we celebrate God's generosity and keep our eyes on the giver, allowing the desire of our heart to be more like him, it's as if we have permission to risk failing miserably because our success was never the point. The only way we can fail is to not accept and share God's gifts, the ones woven into our pocketbooks, our talents, our strengths. Or put another way, the only way we can fail is to not risk failing. This is good news that can change our lives every day. This reminds me of someone I came to know while living overseas, and this is the final person I want to share about today, someone I knew in the Philippines when I lived there. Her name is Michelle Tolentino. Michelle is an incredible believer who serves at-risk kids and families. She has her own Christian radio broadcast that she does with children and youth in Manila. She also has her own nonprofit, Made in Hope, which works to get women who have been trafficked off the street and out of exploitation. They receive education, learn a trade, and are mentored into leadership. Michelle is bright and joyful, smart and strategic, but her story began as a child living in incredible poverty in an urban informal settlement, a community with people who were eking out a living. Michelle says that as a child, she really didn't hope for anything in her life but what she saw around her. She had no promise to her story because the drug addiction and gambling and hopelessness was all she saw. There were over 10 family members living in what we might consider a small shack. But this was not the end of her story. She learned from Christians ministering in her community that she was loved by a God who she could trust with her everything. She was sponsored and given an opportunity to go to school, to go to church, to be mentored, and to learn about God's promises. And her story didn't stop there. Soon she was sponsored to continue her education overseas. She went to university, but the generosity of the giver didn't stop there either. She was sponsored to go to graduate school and to study God's promises more in depth. She felt a call to build others up and to speak and teach. Michelle remembers the day that the giver told her it was time for her to leave her life of comfort and to return to the women and families, the children and the youth who were living in the very place of poverty where she'd been rescued. She thought sure God had that wrong. She said, "But Lord, how can I ever go back?" But after a time, she knew the giver had asked her to take the very things she treasured the most, the gifts that were beyond what she could ever repay, and to give them back to the world the giver loved so much. So she trusted, and she returned. We spoke just a handful of days ago over Zoom for the first time in years about how the Lord just continued to bring Michelle's story to my mind. We spoke about the challenges and the obstacles she faces as she comes alongside female survivors of exploitation and their children needing support. She feels pressure to experience success in this call, but Michelle says, "God is honored in our obedience, and He always transforms it into our joy." She says it's really a call to understand who God is. We need to understand the abundance of who God is. Michelle says when we live like this, this is an invitation to go deeper in our knowing who God is. Even when it's difficult, we are more and more transformed to be like God. I can't help but say yes. I see the heart of the Master in her life, and it's like a bright candle shining in the darkness. It adds light to the world and to my own life. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." God writes something similar on our hearts as we trust Him with our everything. And we may not all use our gifts to travel the whole communities of under-resourced people on the other side of the world. Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 100 people, then just feed one. We might share our gifts in Vancouver with some of Tent's global and local initiatives. Opportunities like Tent's Just One Day events allow our Tent's participants to come alongside global partners virtually with our treasures of time, and resources, and teachable hearts. Those of us who have attended have learned about heroes on the front lines, Tent's global partners doing incredible work in places like Mexico and Cambodia. We can learn more about the big and small ways to link arms with those who are already powerfully sharing their gifts to fight exploitation of vulnerable people in Christ's name. If you want to find out more about how to start your own justice journey with Tenth, you can contact Pastor Patrick here at patrick@tenth.ca. Or perhaps you're thinking today about the ways your story has been changed by someone who simply looked you in the eyes and reflected the love of Christ. Somebody who shook your hand and taught you about the heart of God. It might be time for you to dare to give back that gift and see it multiplied in the lives of young people this fall. If that's true about you today, and you're a part of one of our tent sites and are willing to go through a protection process that we take seriously to ensure the safety of our students, you can contact me at ashling@tenth.ca. Our God is a generous giver of good gifts. God is asking us to risk radical trust, allowing God to use our gifts of time and care and even our treasure. When we allow God's generosity to take center stage, we realize our success is never really the point. We don't have to keep waiting for a day when we have enough or we feel like we are enough. With a simple prayer, we can lift our hearts together now and allow God to use our everything for His good in the world. As we do, we get to know the giver's heart. Our very lives reflect the heart of God like a candle that's no longer hiding away in a storage box. Our own story becomes a light that burns bright in the darkness. Jesus teaches us that this is not just a good idea. This is what we were created for. Let's pray. Jesus, today we pray you would teach us how to follow you with a trusting heart so that we might better reflect the generosity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach our hearts how to be givers who give more like you do, and to know even when it means daring to fail, we can trust you with our everything. Guide us as we offer up our treasures back to your hands, the ones that have blessed and enriched our lives with more than we can repay. May we remember that our treasures were really your treasures all along. Generous giver, help us to see our gifts in us that are meant for giving away for your glory. Help us to know you more. Amen.